Amid the chaos of that day, when all I could hear was the thunder of gunshots, and all I could smell was the violence in the air, I look back and am amazed that my thoughts were so clear and true, that three words went through my mind endlessly, repeating themselves like a broken record. You're so cool. You're so cool. You're so cool.
Cinerama.
You're listening to Cinerama on Phantom 105.2 with me, Gavin Burke. And this week, we have Adam Sandler. He's back in action in Grown Ups. He's taking his mates Chris Rock, David Spade, Kevin James and Rob Schneider on holiday. And we all get to watch. Hooray for us. Michael Cera battles six ex-boyfriends and one ex-girlfriend to win the hand of his fair lady in Scott Pilgrim vs. The World. And with part two of Stieg Larsson's Millennium Trilogy, The Girl Who Played With Fire, that's up for debate. And since Phantom are live from Electric Picnic next week, we're going to look ahead to next week's comedy, the blaxploitation parody Black Dynamite. And the Ross v. Ross boys are back with a brand new movie battle. They're right up after some tunes.
I bet you think we didn't know, didn't even see the time. Washes up to shore, even in this landlocked place. The shit gets thicker, it's toxic, get it out of my face. The trash washes up to shore, even in this landlocked place. The shit gets thicker, it's toxic, get it out of my face. And don't be surprised if they don't.
Tilly in the Wall, Pot Kettle Black from the Whippets soundtrack. You're listening to Cinerama on Phantom 105.2 with me, Gavin Burke. Ross McDonagh and Ross McGuinness have been kicking the crap out of each other over the internet for some time now on RossVRoss.com. They're in the studio tonight with another battle, Commando versus Predator, which is the better movie. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Hello. Hello.
Before we get into that, there seems to be a lot of 80s action movie revival going on with The Losers, The A-Team, and last week's Expendables. Is this a good thing, or should we just go back and watch the classics?
Oh, I think it's a good thing. I remember last time I was in here, we were talking about Inception, actually, and that was the one good film I can remember out of the last 20 or 30 cinema trips. I think they've spent all they can spend now in the 90s and the 10s, and I think we need to start digging back up the 80s where the good shit is.
Do you agree with that,
no,
Ross?
No, I don't. I don't think we need to see Dolph Lundgren fighting Jet Li. I think you should make something new, really. If you want to watch Dolph Lundgren get out... The
Universal Soldier. Right, we've picked two action movie classics to get stuck into. Ross McDonough, you reckon Commando is the bee's knees? What is that?
Certainly. I mean, if you, as I've mentioned on the website, you want comedy, go for Peter Sellers. If you want drama, take Daniel Day-Lewis. You want action, you get Arnie. And if you want an Arnie action film, you take Commando. It is the quintessential action film from Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I think, you know, a lot of the stuff that followed was just pale in comparison.
But it does have Arnie's best lines, I suppose.
Definitely. I mean, I let him go. It's possibly the greatest kiss-off line of all time, I think. And let's not forget, let out some steam, Bennett.
And don't disturb my friend, he's dead tired. I can't do an Arnie impression.
Neither can I, but I'm
it's better than mine.
It's not going to stop me.
I have to ask, is that Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss? That's the girl who gets kidnapped in Commando?
It is not, is it?
Is it?
It is indeed.
I think so.
That witch's program? She was a witch.
Who's the Boss?
No.
Sharon
Doherty. I can't remember the name, but it was rubbish.
Less said about that, the better.
It was rubbish like Commando.
Ross McDonough, you're not a fan of Predator. Why is that?
I think Predator is a bit of a pretender when it comes to, you know, alien films. I think its tie-in with Alien was just a lucky boost for it. I mean, it wants to be Alien so bad, but it's just not like... It's a guy in a costume. He's just a crap alien. He's got female genitalia for face, like he's just not imposing at all. He's kind of rubbish, really, I think.
You had a good point on the website that Arnie only has one kill in Predator.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I pay my money to see Arnie pull people apart, like, and I mean, Commando's got one of his highest body totals of all. He just picks them off one by one. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see him stand around and wait to tackle a Predator right at the end of the film.
Ross McGinnis, you're not a fan of Commando.
I'm not a fan of Commando. There are four reasons why Predator's better than Commando. Get to the chopper. It's superior.
That's a pretty bad Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, I have to say.
I thought that was quite good.
What makes Predator the business?
Well, Predator, I remember when I was growing up, when I was 9 or 10, and there were three videos on VHS that everyone wanted to get and you couldn't get. One of them was Dirty Dancing, because it was 15 and it kind of sounded like it was a porno.
Yeah.
The second one was Crossroads. Remember Crossroads?
I do, with Ralph Macchio from Karate Kid, yeah.
And the third one was Predator, because it was 18 and it was this, oh, you've got to see Predator, you've got to see Predator. And it scared me then and still scares me now. It holds up very, very well. You don't see the alien until late in the film, which is very clever. Arnie actually does a bit of acting in it. You know, stick around. That's as good as Arnold gets, really.
It's a push.
And as for Commando being the best film for Arnie Quips, it's obviously Batman Robin. That's the best Arnold movie for.
I posted this battle on Cinerama's Facebook, and both Rachel and Keith give the nod to Predator. I'm sorry, Ross.
It's nonsense. What I don't understand is he only kills people with weapons. Like, why didn't they just unarm themselves or disarm themselves and just throw their guns on the ground? He's letting people go who aren't armed. Like, I mean,
this conversation is getting very nerdy. I have to say. I'm afraid I'm with Ross McGinnis on this one. Commando was never a favourite of mine. Wore out the tape watching Predator, and it was a tape, we have to say. Plus, the last 20 minutes are dialogue free almost, and it's a 1v1 kind of situation, which is odd for a mainstream actioner. And there's more of a danger and mystery. I think Commando is just to shoot him up. Maybe Ross is shaking his head.
I mean, it's a horse that's been flogged.
He likes video games.
But look, Commando was so good. It had everything in that film, and it's been done. Look at Predator. I mean, how many feckin' sequels are there now? Predator 1,
yeah,
2, Alien vs. Predator, Alien vs. Predator again.
Yeah, maybe they didn't make more of Commando because it's crap.
No, they didn't remake Commando because it can't be topped. I mean, they keep trying with Predator. Adrian Brody, anybody?
And another one gives the nod to Predator is that we wouldn't have this.
Listen, the helicopter moves into position. Got a mission, a top secret briefing from Dylan. Arnie waits in the chopper till his stogie is lit.
Dylan!
And then he sees Dylan.
You son of a bitch.
Next, the two jest with an arm wrestling contest.
Because some damn fool accused you of being the best.
The situation is sinister. Dylan explains what they're doing. There's a cabinet minister in the jungle who needs rescuing.
I'm going in with you, then.
Dylan is to be the chaperone, but Arnie isn't happy.
My team always works alone.
With tons of camo, the commandos are ready to go. They've got guns and ammo and Little Richard on the stereo. The helicopter flies over the jungle terrain. You've got Poncho Mac, Billy Hawkins, Dylan, Dutch and Blaine. There's banter back and forth with every man aboard. Blaine says they're slack-jawed, he's a sexual tyrannosaur.
That goes on for another 6 minutes, believe it or not.
What?
And it's a Predator rap. It's the Predator. I don't know who does it. There's a Commando rap up there as well. Ross, you should log on to YouTube for
that
one.
Out.
Yeah. Thanks to the guys, you can catch this battle and many more in a less censored fashion on rossvross.com.
Have you written anything lately?
Yeah, I guess.
Will you play it for me?
you don't want to hear. It's not good.
No, I'm sure it is.
It's just I wrote half of it when I was with Linda, and I wrote the other half after we broke up, so it's a little uneven, you know?
I don't mind. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, all right.
Yay!
Okay, I just want to warn you that when I wrote this song, I was listening to The Cure a lot, so...
From the History Boys soundtrack, that's The Cure and A Forest. You're listening to Cinerama on Phantom 105.2 with me, Gavin Burke.
Film reviews.
Grown Ups is the new comedy from Adam Sandler and director Dennis Duggan, who have graced us with the likes of Happy Gilmore and Little Nicky. Sandler, Chris Rock, Kevin James, David Spade and Rob Schneider reunite for the first time in years for the funeral of their high school coach. They retreat to a lakeside house with wives Salma Hayek, Maya Rudolph and Maria Bello, and zany antics ensue. Like one of them, one of the kids is still breastfeeding at four.
Mommy, I want some milk.
Oh, sure, Angel. Come here. I'll give you a little something. Slow down, honey.
Your son is so cute.
Yeah.
How old is he?
Oh, he's 48 months. That's four. Yeah.
Hey, sweetheart. could you use a fork, please?
No, 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 no!
Looks like she didn't get the memo.
Not laughing yet? Well, check this out.
Hey, Lenny, remember we used to come here in high school late night after we got wasted?
What's wasted?
Oh, nice one, Aggie. Wasted, kids, is something that happens when you have a hankering for ice cream.
Well, I want to get wasted.
I want to get totally wasted.
I want to get wasted every single day of my life.
I want to get chocolate wasted.
No, you don't need to get wasted. It's okay.
And still with me tonight is Sarah Ann Murphy, and the Ross Boys have stuck around. Sarah Ann, that's about as funny as it gets, really.
Is that funny?
Well, no.
No, it's not. There's nothing funny about this film. I can, like, when I was reading about this yesterday or a few days ago, and then I went to see it yesterday evening, and I was just like looking at it going, these are so tired. Everything about this is so old. It's so flat. Now, you can imagine Adam Sandler and Fred Wolf sitting down and writing this and thinking this is really funny. But when did they write it is what I'd like to know.
What was it written at all, Ross? It seems to be all we have to do is get these comedians who are friends, rely on the chemistry, roll the camera, and laughs will come. But if it's not on the script, it's not on the screen.
Well, I'm with Sarah on this. It is absolutely dreadful. I can't figure out, you know, where the idea came from. It's like the Expendables. Yeah, instead of 80s action stars, they've got kind of 90s C-list comedy stars together, and there's even less of a reason for that than the Expendables. You know what I mean? To see David Spade play the pervert again, and Schneider play the weirdo again, and Kevin James play the fat clown again, and Chris Rock play the wisecracking black guy again. It's so tired, as Sarah Ann says.
Well, I mean, if Chris Rock was wisecracking, that would be one thing. But
can
he looks,
I just make
looks
a point here?
Yeah.
In what film has Chris Rock ever been funny? Other than Good Hair, his documentary. He can't screen act.
Well, I don't think it's his fault. I think it's because he has to tone down
but
his...
you see, like, fact of the matter is, this guy is a hilarious comedian. Why then is he taking these roles in these god-awful films and destroying his street credibility as a good comedian? Why would you do this, a film like this? But
bottom
this film
line,
has
money.
Made no money. It received crap reviews across America. It's getting slated over here and across Europe. So,
I thought it made sort of $200 million in the States. I'm sure it won't make as much money here.
Did it make that much? Didn't
I don't think it did.
I don't think so.
No. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's...
It is terrible, but after half an hour, I hadn't laughed after the first half hour. And then the longer it went on, I almost got comforted by the fact that I wasn't laughing. It's sort of, there's something very, sort of, I don't know.
I did enjoy, I have to say, when they go to the water park for about what felt like an hour. But I have a penchant for water parks. And
whatever, Gavin.
I like watching people having fun. Can we talk about Steve Buscemi's cameo in a full body cast? Did anyone find
that funny? What's happened to him as an actor? Jeekers almighty,
I thought the film was very just watching somebody else's home movie. You know, like I'd say them five guys were watching it and were thinking, "Oh, this is gas." But anyone else, it's like just watching someone else think they're funny on camera.
It touched on so many social issues that confer, like, you know, that kind of deals with family psychology, like the children being spoiled. But I'm sorry, the character that Adam Sandler plays, Lenny, like, he only realizes when he goes to this lake house to reunite with his friends that his kids are spoiled rotten. Come on,
that was
like
atrocious.
Out of five, Sarah?
Oh God, one.
And the Rosses?
I'm going to give it two because Vince Vaughn wasn't in it, and it also has the best song ever written in it, which is Rupert Holmes' "Pina Coladas." So it gets 2 stars for me.
I'd give it 1.5 just because Adam Sandler wouldn't shout in it for a change.
Okay, that's thumbs down anywhere for grown-ups. Now, you might think you've had enough parodies with the crap disaster and epic movies, but in the week of Airplane's 30th anniversary, we have one that might change your mind. Black Dynamite is a blaxploitation parody of the likes of Superfly and Shaft. Black Dynamite is a smooth cat, a detective, a part-time pimp, an ex-CIA agent, a martial arts expert, a ladies' man, and a Vietnam vet who, for some reason, confuses Vietnam with another country.
I remember Vietnam like it was yesterday. I remember that village in Thai Ninh that we cut down. It was a massacre. All the dead Chinamen we left in our tracks. I remember the faces, the children. This one child I'll never forget. Poor little was still alive. Little Chinese legs were blown clean off. Still see his little shins and feet hanging from the ceiling fan across the hut. He was charred from his head down to his little Chinese knees. He tried to get up, but he fell over when what was left of his right leg broke off. As he laid there, flat on his face, he looked up at me. His little Chinese eyes burned right into my stomach, deep into my soul. He said something to me in Chinese, like, Boko Sao sounds like some cartoon shit, but I understood it to be a question that he was asking me. And I don't have to know how to speak Chinese to know what that question was. Why, Black Dynamite? Why?
He's not Chinese. When his brother Jimmy is killed, Black Dynamite takes to the ghetto streets of LA to find his killer. David and Manny from Access Cinema. I reckon there are three rules when it comes to a parody. I reckon, okay? These aren't in books or anything like that. You have to love what you're sending up. You have to have genuine affection for what you're sending up. You got to play it straight, and it's got to be short. Black Dynamite delivers on all that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, this is almost Aristotelian in its like its adherence to drama. Yes, it does. If these rules are, as you say, the rules of parody, which these are your rules,
my rules,
they're not. Yeah,
no, okay. No, mine.
They do adhere and observe to your rules, but that might be accidental.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it funny?
It is, for the most part. Yes, I mean it is. A parody of these sort of movies that are to watch, like films like Shaft and Superfly. Now they have in many ways become parodies of themselves at this stage. So by kind of beautifully homaging and replicating them and throwing in a few jokes, yes, it is funny. It's about 80 minutes long. It doesn't outstay its welcome too much, but
it does
a little
run
bit repetitive.
Out of steam, yeah, towards the end, all right,
it becomes a little bit repetitive. For me, it reminded me hugely of this movie that came out, a little scene film that came out in the early '90s called "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker," and it. You see, I almost intoned that correctly as well. You have
well
to.
Done.
You can't say like, "I ain't gonna get you, sucker."
Yeah, true, yeah,
It just kind of is naturally comes out, and it. If you haven't seen that film, this is extremely funny. But for me, the gags in "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker" were more outrageously outlandish, and this is more sort of loving pastiche or homage.
Do you have to see these blaxploitation movies?
Not at all. No. I've never seen Shaft, and but you know the style, you know the desaturated look of them, you know these crash zooms.
Yeah, mimics the funky soundtrack. Yeah, the split screen, the awkward zooms. I mean, at one point the boom mic comes down and hits one of the cast.
Yeah, that didn't work for me. That's a bit kind of Naked Gun Files of Police Squad. Like that's a bit cheesy. But some of the lines are great. The performances are definitely committed. I mean, Michael J. White, isn't it? He's really good in. He's got charisma. You know, and he definitely pulls it out. He wrote it and produced it as well, didn't he? This is a labour of love.
It is. Mm-hmm. We've just got a text in from Mark. He says, I saw Black Dynamite at Horrorthon 2009. The That's IFI right. Went out and got the DVD. Best comedy of 2009. But it's only getting a release here, and it's only out on the screen. It's out next week. Out of five, Dave?
Three.
Three out of five for Black Dynamite. The Girl Who Played With Fire is part two of the Millennium Trilogy. We weren't fans of the first installment, so let's hope the sequel fares better. It picks up a year after the events in Dragon Tattoo, and this one sees Lisbeth Salander return to Sweden and fingered for three murders, her nasty lawyer and the deaths of a journalist and his girlfriend who were researching human trafficking. Lisbeth goes to ground to attempt to prove her innocence, while friend Blomqvist tries to convince the cops they're after the wrong person. Siran, I thought it was a lot better in Dragon Tattoo.
Much better than the first one. Much better pacing. At least Lisbeth was kind of the main person in it as opposed to the first one. It's still long, but it's not as long as the first one. It's good, but it kind of loses the run of itself. So I just have to hope that the third installment is going to...
The ending does get absolutely ridiculous, we have to say. It's really bad.
But like, I can't...
But up until then, it was grand.
Yeah, it was really good. Again, some of the characters are very hard on the eye, and that's kind of stomach-churning. But she is an incredible actress. She holds the screen unbelievably well. It's good, but... I don't know, the ending.
I think Dave disagrees with us.
I thought this was comfortably worse.
Worse than the first one?
Yeah, really? I thought the first one was pretty bad. The first one had massive problems with it, but I think this is... quite a few notches down the old ladder.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, it looks horrible. Actually, no, not first of all. Let's go back to... You read out a synopsis there earlier.
Yeah.
And now you must have got that off the internet, because I defy anyone to tell me what this film is actually about.
Well,
there
I don't
is
know what
no
it's
plot. It's like watching people email each other. You know, it's there's no plot. I have no idea what it's about. My brain turned into...
Do you want me to tell you?
Soft molasses after about the 20 minute mark. It looks, it's visually grotesque. It's so horrible. It looks like someone that's only ever seen EastEnders and has no idea how to compose a shot.
Oh, it's
There's
not
only
that
one
far.
Scene that's actually cinematic. When they set something on fire, that old standby kind of a big widescreen shot of something burning, and the milk had frothed for it. It's the only film, the only scene in the entire thing that actually felt like I was watching a movie. The rest of it is people talking to each other, emailing each other about something or other. And there's some of the most outrageously ridiculous sequences I've seen committed to film, one of them being when she's buried alive, yes, under like 6 foot of earth. And of course she escapes. I'm not ruining it for anybody that she escapes. There's another one. There's part three is coming.
Yeah, that's true.
She escapes with a cigarillo case. Digs her way out one
handed. It's possible.
Cigarillo
it's possible.
Case. Yeah. And
no,
then it gets
possible.
Even more ridiculous into that ending you you referenced there. It's really bad. It's hopelessly awful. Terribly dreadful.
No, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought the first one was as bad as you described this one. But no, it's about her family, isn't it? Like her family are trying to
rid
her.
Yeah, there's more of a backstory going on. I mean, yeah. I wasn't a fan of the first one. This one is grand. It's not
but I like the fact that we get to know why she is the way she is.
Exactly.
And that's kind of, which we should have found out in the first one in order for us to really, really care about this character. But hey, maybe
the first
third
one. Like, bad and all as it was, it had a beginning, a middle and an end. You know,
no,
it did. It stopped at the end. The story was finished at the end. She went off into the sunset. That was it. This really feels like they're desperately trying to ladle on backstory to give to justify the film's existence. Like, I mean, God only knows what they're going to pour on us in part three.
In November.
Well, Yay. The third and final outing, The Girl Who Kicks the Hornet's Nest, is out here in November, while David Fincher's Dragon Tattoo adaptation should be with us next
That's
year.
That's it, we have to watch them all again.
I know, God help us.
Fincher, it's Fincher, out of five.
The half.
The half. I don't think we've ever had a half.
Two and a half out
of five for the girl who played with fire. We're taking a short break, but we've got loads more to come, including Ross's top five. Stay with us.
Then it hits me like a kick in the nuts. What if I'm wrong? I've got a condition. I get confused sometimes. What if I've imagined all of this? What if I finally turn into what they've always said I was going to turn into? A maniac. A psycho killer.
Psycho killer, pesky, pa 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 pa.
Psycho Killer from the Summer of Sam soundtrack. That's Talking Heads. You're listening to Cinerama on Phantom 105.2 with me, Gavin Burke. Now, I have great news for you 80s fans out there. Because the 80s season of The Scream was such a success, they're going for another one, which is kicking off on the 27th of September. But this time, it's going to be different, because this time, it's you, the listeners, who are going to choose what movies you want to see. It's up on phantom.ie already, but I'll just tell you, you can, if you log on to the website, phantom.ie, and vote for the movie you want to see, and anyone who votes would automatically be entered into the tickets competition. The first batch of voting will be of the action adventure genre. The movies up for grabs are Highlander, Raw Deal, Escape from New York, RoboCop, Commando, and Lethal Weapon. So you guys vote during the week, vote early, vote often, and I'll announce which movie has won on Cinerama on Friday the 10th. So which movie do you want to see? Highlander, Raw Deal, Escape from New York, RoboCop, Commando, or Lethal Weapon? But that's not all. We'll have comedy, which has Fish Called Wanda, Risky Business, Spinal Tap, Caddyshack, Beetlejuice, and Weekend at Bernie's. I'm looking forward to seeing that one. I hope that one wins. For the Halloween, for the horror, we have Evil Dead 2, Friday the 13th, Poltergeist, Hellraiser, The Shining, and The Lost Boys. And there's a sci-fi genre there: The Fly, Inner Space, Aliens, Mad Max 2, Starman, and They Live. And there's St. Elmo's Fire, Fame, Flashdance, Heathers, When Harry Met Sally, Roxanne is in there too. And for the childhood favourites, you have Stand By Me, E.T., Big, Karate Kid, Labyrinth, and Goonies. So log on to phantom.ie and you vote for which movie you want to see.
Film reviews.
Directed by Shaun of the Dead's Edgar Wright, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World sees Michael Cera's 22-year-old rocker date a high school girl, but when he sets his eyes on Ramona Flowers, he falls head over heels and needs the advice from his gay roommate, Rory Culkin.
Why does everything have to be so complicated?
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott. Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
It's love, Scott. I wasn't trying to trick you. Hey, buddy, look. If she really is the girl of your dreams, then you have to let her know. You have to overcome any and all obstacles that lie in your path. You can do it. Be with her. It's your destiny. Plus, I need you to move out.
What?
So he dumps his girlfriend, makes a move for Ramona, but she's got some bad news.
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my seven evil exes.
You have seven evil ex-boyfriends?
Seven evil exes, yes.
And I have to fight?
Defeat.
Defeat your seven evil exes if we're going to continue to date?
Pretty much.
So what you're saying right now is we are dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
Cool.
Still with me is Ciarán Murphy and the Rosses from RossVRoss.com. Ciarán, it ticks a lot of boxes. I think this will appeal to romance fans, action fans, computer game fans, graphic novels, music fans.
It's just got everything. Now, to be honest, I went into it, I had no idea what it, like, to be honest, I was lost quite a lot, but I did just kick back and enjoy it. I mean, Michael Cera, you know, sometimes you get fed up with him kind of doing the same thing over and over again, but this, you know, really suits him. The music in this is consistently brilliant. The sets are great and it's just engaging. Okay, I know when we were talking earlier off air, people were saying, but when you find out it's seven evil exes, you perhaps start to count it down.
Yeah, you've got three that a left problem. Now.
But I liked the kind of twist when two of them kind of came together. Not that I was giving anything away there. I hope I wasn't anyway. Anyway,
it's ruined the whole movie for everybody.
But yeah, no, this is just, it's, I mean, if you just go in and go with the characters from the start, you know, it's just a lot of, it's really, really good fun. And I have to say, I was really surprised at the action sequences. I thought they were really well executed.
Ross McGuinness, how you doing?
Not too bad. Not
Michael Cera, is he playing Michael Cera again, as Ciarán pointed out?
He is a little, but he plays kind of a variation, because he's a bit of a, for want of a better word, a bit of a dick in this.
Yeah.
He's not very likable.
He's a bit more confident.
And I think that helps the film, because, you know, it's easy to tag on to someone who's really lovable and doesn't do anything wrong, but he actually this sounds corny, but he actually learned something, I think, on the way in this film. But I was quite worried about this film going into it, because it's not really targeted at someone like me. I played Street Fighter 2 years ago, but I haven't picked up a video game in a long time. And I thought the first 20 minutes were excruciatingly bad. It was like a bad episode of the OC. It was lots of teenagers humming and hawing and sighing. And then just once the first fight started, it just took off, and it was just, I had a big grin on my face the whole way from there.
Ross McDonagh, I found the actual fight scenes, oddly, I found them distracting. I was waiting for them to finish so we can get back to the story, because I wanted to know how it was going to turn out.
Well, I was living for the fight scenes, I have to say. I thought they were superb. The choreography was brilliant in it. It was second to none, and great to see, obviously, you know, non-martial art trained people pulling it off, you know what I mean? And the effects are excellent, and I have to say. Now, what you said at the start, You think it's got something for everybody. I don't think I agree. I think if you aren't at least a bit familiar with computer games, a lot of this film's just going to go over your head. I think very, very targeted at an audience, and it's gamers, and I think it's solely for them.
You know what? I can just see all the students are going to be quoting this film over and over again.
Mm-hmm. We have to talk about the romance. I think we all agree that Ramona Flowers, we don't really like her. We want her to stick with Knives. Is that his ex-girlfriend? Yeah. She was a lot nicer. She was a lot more fun.
She was way hotter too. Even though she only 17.
She wasn't.
She was a schoolgirl.
Nah, she's super hot, sorry.
No. She's Ramona
actually,
Flowers
she's
is way
older
cooler.
Than him in real life.
Yeah.
Well, no, she looks it, you know.
So that's all legal then, that's fine.
Yeah, she's 25.
Have you read the graphic novels? How does it compare? Does anyone
I told you
that?
I didn't.
No.
All graphic novels.
Okay. Out of five, Sarah-Ann?
Yeah, I'm going to go 4.
Ross?
Same for me, 4.
4 as well.
4 all round for Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Ross's top 5.
Now, before I start, I have to say these aren't, you know, superhero. This isn't a superhero list. These are direct comic book to film adaptations.
Okay, right.
So, without further ado, the top 5 comic book adaptations. At number 5, Constantine. Keanu Reeves. I normally can't stand him, but he's all right in this.
Well done. I like that one actually.
That's appalling.
Number 4, The
Get
Crow.
To the
Number 4, The Crow. I've been raving about this one since 1994.
Nice.
Good.
And number 3,
Pontius Pilate over here. All right, Pontius de Rosa maybe.
And number 3, I have 300 because this is awesome.
Nah, that's crap.
Rubbish.
Number 2 is Kick-Ass because quite simply, this film literally was very good.
You went the other way with it. You went the other way. I see that, film. Yeah.
And
great
number
movie.
One, I know someone might disagree with this,
oh,
but I
no.
have Watchmen. Oh. Never mind who watches The Watchmen, I'll tell you who doesn't watch it. Troglodytes and Philistines.
Thanks a million, Ross.
TV movies this week.
Sarah Anna's picked a great one tonight, and a recent cult movie on CineCult, actually.
Yes, tonight, Swimming with Sharks is on BBC Two at 11:50. I really like this film. It's Kevin Spacey with Frank Whaley, and it's set in a production studio in Hollywood, and Kevin Spacey's a narky old fecker in it, to be honest, and he takes on a new graduate just out of film school who sees this great opportunity, but he's really abusive and mean towards him and just treats him really, really terribly. And then eventually, am I giving too much away by saying what happens to him?
Yes.
Okay, right, I'll stop now. Yeah,
okay.
It's really good. Watch
well,
it.
We got a clip of how nice the Kevin Spacey actually gets.
Excuse me, what is this? Sweet and Low? No. This is not Sweet and Low, this is Equal. Blue packet. Sweet and Low is pink. See? Equal blue, Sweet and Low pink. It's not the same thing, is it? I think they both contain the same... What Equal contains is not my concern here. I don't care if it has fucking fairy dust in it. What I am concerned with is detail. I asked you to go get me a packet of Sweet and Low. You bring me back Equal. That isn't what I asked for. That isn't what I wanted. That isn't what I needed. And that isn't going to work around here. I just thought... You thought. Do me a favor. Shut up, listen, and learn. Look, I know that this is your first day and you don't really know how things work around here, so I will tell you. You have no brain. No judgment calls are necessary. What you think means nothing. What you feel means nothing. You are here for me. You are here to protect my interests and to serve my needs. So while it may look like a little thing to you, When I ask for a packet of Sweet and Low, that's what I want. And it is your responsibility now to see that I get what I want. Am I clear?
When's this on, Sarah?
It's on tonight if you're not going out and about at 11.50 on BBC Two. Watch it, it's great.
Check that out. Our About Last Night is on RT1 at 11.45.
Oh, beat
I really
me if
like
you
that movie. thanks to Ross, thanks to Sarah, and thanks to Dave too. Neil Austin is
the Rosses.
The Rosses, sorry.
There's two of us, yeah.
Sorry.
He's looking at me when he said that.
Ross and his friend, who's also called Ross.
Neil Austin is up with a cult crime movie that gets criminally overlooked.
Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski! Condolences, the bomb's lost. My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
Cinecult.
Now, Neil Austin is here with a crime movie that's was it criminally overlooked. Did you like that run, Neil?
That was good. I was liking that.
Neil, what have you got for us?
Things Are Doing David When You're Dead. Now, I hadn't seen this film in a long time, and this is an absolute classic film that you do really have to check out, and you should probably have it in your collection. Now, the thing I like about this film is it was done the same time as kind of Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Kind of. So
you've got Pulp Fiction in around that time. Yeah.
So the thing was, it was overlooked because you've got, you know, all these great movies coming out by Quentin Tarantino. But it's the same kind of thing. It's very Shakespearean. It's kind of a tragedy when you think about it, but you've got these great characters in it that all add up. And I know one of the scenes that we're going to be talking about a little bit later on has got who's your man from Back to the Future?
Christopher Lloyd
in it. Yeah, there's some great soliloquies in it. But anyway, what's happened is you've got this character. He's Jimmy the Saint. He's an ex-gangster. He's got a business he's trying to make legit. And eventually he starts running out of money, has to go and get some cash. Promissory note gets called in. And he's told he has to go and do a job for somebody because, obviously, he's under somebody's thumb.
Yeah.
So let's go, okay, so long story short, he has to go and rough somebody up. So he gets the crew together and they make an absolute hames of the job. So as push comes to shove, crime boss wants them all dead. That's kind of it.
That's about it. Yeah, but then it plays out that he's Andy Garcia, he's the leader of the gang. He feels very, what's the word, guilty that he's got the boys into this situation,
yeah.
And he tries to get them out of it.
He's racing around town. He tries to get everything sorted. He tries to calm it down with Christopher Walken, who's playing the bad guy, who's a fantastic bad guy in this, as he always seems to be. So he's trying to get everything sorted, and of course it doesn't quite work like that because we're dealing with mobsters. So there's some fantastic stuff in here that goes on with all the shootings and everything else.
When he's trying to sort it out and trying to take care of all his crew, there's a great scene with Christopher Lloyd where he's trying to give Christopher Lloyd money to get him out of the country. And Lloyd,
he's not having any of it. No, the great thing is he's accepted his fate. They've made such a balls of this job that they've gone, well, look, we're in trouble now. And Christopher Lloyd's character is kind of going, well, look, what's the point in running? Because he's giving him this cash to say, look, I'll have you in the Mediterranean by tomorrow lunchtime. He's going, you know, I'm basically going to wake up one day and I'm going to get shot. You know, I'm going to live the rest of my life running. And he's like, I'm not bothered about it. I'd rather just leave it.
What's going on? Charter flight leaves in the morning. You got a layover in Rome.
Ah, get out of here.
The Greek islands. You'll be having moussaka and Mykonos by dinner tomorrow night.
I don't think so, Jimmy.
Hey. Oh, no more porn theaters, no more scumbags stroking it around you. The cool blue waters of the Mediterranean.
Ah,
what?
Jimmy, I ain't gonna run.
What are you talking about, Holden?
I've been thinking.
Holden, listen to me.
I've been thinking about this guy. My neighbor next door a few years ago. A citizen. Never married, no kids, just a sweet guy. And he got a cancer, a bad one. He was dying. I've been thinking about him. Thinking how if, in his last days, when he was laying on the bed, staring up at the ceiling in this shitty little apartment, knowing he was gonna die, was he sorry he never did nothing? She's sorry he never did the foxtrot with a $2,000 a night hooker at a Paris nightclub. Jimmy, we did the things.
Holden, I appreciate what you're saying. But listen, I need you on this island, man.
Jimmy.
I need you there.
I don't have any regrets. I'm not going to stare up at the ceiling. Maybe I could have been a better old man to my kids. Maybe I shouldn't have pulled as much time as I did. But Jimmy, we did did the things. Them days. I had a snap brim hat. You walk into a joint. Ah! Forget about it.
Well, then I want you to take this money. Please, take it.
You keep it. You do something good with it.
Things to Do in Denver. When You're Dead is the cult movie of the week. Thanks to Neil Austin. I'd love to talk more about that one, but we're just running quickly out of time. Thanks to Kaz, the guys, and all who text in. You can get in touch with me by logging on to Cinerama on Facebook. And I'm leaving you with Sammy Hagar. Have a good week.
I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now. And just like that, my running days was over. So I went home to Alabama.